Thank you. That was a wonderful presentation, Stephanie. Well, both of your presentations, I think, set the framework, but the broad national framework and then exactly what you did in Toledo was really interesting to me. Well, I want to thank American Public Health Association for inviting me here today. I want to especially thank those who put this panel together. I love the topic, All in This Together, Public Health and Community Benefit. And I was thinking, though, that an even better topic for me right now is Together Again. I see Chris over here from New Orleans, and I'm from Boston. I'm from Massachusetts. That's where my roots are. I live in Washington now. Anyone else from Massachusetts or the Boston area? Well, you know, we take our history very seriously. But really, we only take Massachusetts history very seriously. We never got to Jamestown. We never got to Ponce de Leon. But I have been really interested in Catholic healthcare, how it got started. And in 1727, six Ursuline nuns left France and came to New Orleans, where Chris is. And they started visiting the sick and the poor. And they supported themselves by begging in New Orleans, and eventually someone gave them a house where they were able to take some of the sickest people. So that's probably the first hospital in America, one of the first hospitals, and probably the first public health nurses in America. Then also in New Orleans, about 100 years later, Henrietta DeLille, who was, this was before the Emancipation Proclamation, she was a woman of color, but she was free, and she used to visit the slave quarters, much to the embarrassment of her family, because she could have passed, and she could have been part of society. But she visited those people who were no longer able to be slaves because they were too sick, and they were too poor, and they were too old. And she, with her friends, begged again to get the support to take care of these people. And eventually someone also gave her a house where she took some of the people who had been former slaves who were dying. And we think that that is the first nursing home and maybe even the first hospice in this country. And you could almost say, because she was taking care of the old, that she was maybe the first area agency on aging. So you see, this is our start. This is our history and where we began. So we're together, I think, as Dr. McManus said. We started out together. We sort of got apart, and now we're coming back together again. But I think what those stories tell us is, first of all, we share a common mission, not-for-profit hospitals and public health agencies, in that we were created to deal with the problems in our community in the times when they were happening. The other is, I have heard about collaboration since I walked in this hotel's door. Every session is talking about the importance of collaboration. We can't do it without our friends. And I think the last thing it tells us is there's never been enough money to go around. So what I'd like to do today and what I've been asked to do is to present the hospital's perspective. And I want to start with a mission perspective that continues that New Orleans history. This is a picture of Mother Joseph, who was born in Montreal, and she went to the American Northwest. She also visited the poor, especially the early Native Americans who were there. She also visited, though, the logging camps. This is another piece of history. And she said to the loggers, this was just the beginning of the logging industry, if you give us, the sisters, 25 cents a month, we'll take care of you if you get sick or injured. And we think that might have been the beginning of managed care, too. So, you know, these sisters, this they really were something. Every not-for-profit hospital was started because of community need. And when you go back and when you work with your hospitals, find out what their history, what their background is. It might not have begun with six nuns on a boat. However, it was civic or religious people getting together to bring health care to that community. I love this this picture. This is a picture of a statue of Mother Joseph that appears in Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C. And I once sent to Senator Grassley's office, Mother Joseph's been here longer than Senator Grassley. And he said, yes, but no longer than, but not longer than Senator Byrd. And at the time, that was true. May he rest in peace. So that's the first thing. We don't look at community needs. We don't respond to needs. We don't do assessments. in order to please the Internal Revenue Service or to meet something from requirements from the Affordable Care Act. We do it because it's our mission. What I think has happened in recent years legally has formalized that process, but if you leave with nothing else, remember that it is part of our history. But there is a legal imperative. Mike was talking about the IRS Form 990, and on that form, we do have to report what it is we do for our communities. And what we can report, there is a very specific definition of what we can report, but it starts with, is there a community need? If there's not a community need for that service, we're not supposed to be reporting it as community benefit. And so this requirement to look at what are the needs of the community really predate the Affordable Care Act, and certainly will continue no matter what happens tomorrow. But the Affordable Care Act did require hospitals to do community health needs assessment and to develop implementation strategies to work on those needs that were identified. And what I'd like to do is tell you about the Internal Revenue Service's notice that it published last July, saying, what does that mean? Now, their rules are different from what we're, or their process is different from the process we're used to in healthcare, where there's the proposed rule and then a final rule. What we saw last summer was a notice that says the IRS intends to write proposed rules, and this is what we intend to say. And so what I'm going to be reporting is what was in that notice that said they intend to put in their proposed rules. But they also told hospitals that you can trust this, you can use this for at least 6 months after anything else comes out. We have to identify the needs of the community served by the hospital. And right built into the legislation is it must be conducted in collaboration with others. But each hospital has to present its own findings. This is built into the law. We must take into account input from persons who represent the broad interests of the community, including those with special knowledge or expertise in public health. Now, the notice goes into detail. I'll talk about that a little bit more, about how we're supposed to be collecting that information. The notice also says, or the law says, that the information must be made, this assessment must be made publicly available. And what the notice says is that it must be on our website and available upon request. So you should be able to get the community health needs assessment. Hopefully, you don't have to ask for it, because its assessment is the same as your assessment that we're working together. But if by any chance that hasn't happened, you can find the needs assessment on the website. The notice talks about when this must be conducted. All community health needs assessments for hospitals, depends on when their tax year is, but must be completed within 2013, depending on when their tax year is, their assessment and their implementation strategy. Something that was interesting about the notice is, when is it conducted? It is conducted when the hospital posts it. So if a hospital and a health department work together on a community health needs assessment, and as in Stephanie's case, they published, the county publishes, or the city publishes the results of that health assessment, say in December of 2012, because they wanted to release it. But the hospital says, I want our board to take a look at it, even though it's an identical assessment. We want our board to take a look at it, and they don't put it on their website until February of 2013. It's considered done in 2013, and that's when the clock starts ticking for the next one. There should not be a problem if you're on different timetables, even if you're using the same assessment. The hospital can, at its time, as long as it fits in the IRS time frame, publish it at a different time from the health department. How is the community defined? There have been people who have suggested specifically how hospitals define their community, but the IRS notice leaves it up to the hospital. But generally, it's defined by a geographic location. Could be a city, a county, could be some census tracts. In some cases, it can be a target population. For example, Children's Hospital in Boston only looks at children in Boston. They don't look at all of the populations. In some cases, it can be related to a hospital's principal function. For example, a rehab hospital might only look at rehab-related issues. It might be stroke and heart disease. It might be trauma. But it wouldn't have to look at all the issues. But very specifically in the notice, it says that the hospital may not kind of gerrymander its what it considers its community to avoid any populations in need. To me, the guts of the notice is how the community how the community health needs assessment is documented, because much is left open to the hospital of how it's going to conduct it. But what the IRS says is, tell us how you did it, tell us who you worked with. So it's really how it's documented that, to me, is the meat of it. First, we have to give a description. What are we considering our community? And in most cases, it's the primary and secondary service area of the hospital. They have to describe the process that's used. And the process that's used in the notice says, what were the data sources? And the data sources are both the secondary data, but also the primary data, the community members, and the dates and the sources of that data. And second, what sort of analysis did you use? Stephanie was talking about looking at comparisons, and the county health rankings has been such a boon to hospitals who are just getting started in this process. But also they might look at trends. Is this worse than it was before? Is this getting better before, to decide what they're doing? So they have to describe that process that they used. They have to talk about any information gaps, and it could be that we're doing this, we did the assessment in 2012, but all of our data was from 2010 or 2008, so that has to be disclosed. It could be that we had county level data, but we didn't have city, or we didn't have a specific pocket of poverty, we didn't have data on that, so we went out and augmented that. If the hospital collaborated with others, who did they collaborate with? And if we used a consultant, what were the qualifications of that person? Now, the notice does go into detail about getting input from the persons who represent the broad interests of the community. And I think it's interesting, the law made that clear, the legislative history made this clear, and the notice does. This is to be a collaborative process. So they want to know when and how the organization consulted with these persons. Were there meetings? Were there interviews? We did get clarification from the service that they don't mean if we had a community forum and, well, let's be optimistic and say 100 people came. We don't need the names and addresses of all those, because we certainly don't want to discourage anyone from coming. But for the key stakeholders, the people who we interview, when and who did you meet with? For persons with special knowledge or expertise in public health, and that again is in the law, we have to use public health expertise. What was the name, the title, the affiliation, and what's this person's knowledge and expertise? There have been, as Mike was suggested, that Mike explained, some suggestions that there's a very specific type of expertise that hospitals should deal with, education and experience, and this is how they should be involved. And hospitals did push back on that, and they said communities are different. What sort of expertise is available could be different. We might not have that kind of expertise in every community across the country, so we have to be able to use our judgment. But clearly, we have to say we've worked with people with expertise in public health, and we have to describe what that work has been. Then we have to give a prioritized description of all the community health needs identified. The area that gives me a little pause is that word all, because just looking around at Charlotte, the list might be fairly manageable, but if you're back in Baltimore, where Mike and I started our days yesterday, there's certainly a lot of community health needs. What we're suggesting to people and what we see from the public health literature is to try to get the list down manageable. Stephanie said 10 sounds like a good number, so that you say, what are the most important needs we're going to deal with? And then how did you prioritize those? We have to talk about the process that we used. Again, IRS does not say, this is the process you must use. It says, describe to us, what process did you use to get priorities, and what criteria did you use? And we are helping hospitals identify those criteria that public health leaders have been using for years. We also have to talk about what are the assets in the community. So what are those existing resources? Are there federally qualified health centers? What are there? Do we have enough primary care physicians? Who's in that community? And this could be church organizations, community organizations, who can deal with the problems that we've identified. So it's looking at not just the needs, but what are the assets in the community. So that's the community health needs assessment. We then have to develop an implementation strategy. for each of the needs that was identified, we have to address it. And we have to say either, what are we going to do about it? Or if we're not going to do something about it, why not? And the why not, let's start with that. Sometimes it's clear. Maybe one of the largest needs of a community is stroke, but a children's hospital that only deals with children is not going to deal with it. A hospital might see that children's asthma is a big problem, but if they don't have pediatrics, they might not. Sometimes it's just a lack of resources. But what goes into that implementation strategy, we're still trying to figure out, but we think it's fairly high level, that it could be access is the problem. What are we going to do? We're forming a task force to work with the Federally Qualified Health Center, the Public Health Office, with primary care physicians, and we're going to develop a detailed plan. So we think that that's probably enough for that point, and then there'll be detailed plans later on. Now, hospitals can come together with the implementation strategy just as they can with the assessment, but again, they have to have their name, each hospital has to have its name on the plan as it did on the assessment. And it should be tailored to what's that hospital going to do. It could be in the case of childhood obesity that three hospitals in the health department are always all together going to be working on this issue, but one hospital might be dealing with their dietitian going into the schools and giving classes, and another hospital might be working to give with exercise programs. So the problem's the same, but what they're doing is different. And in the case of the implementation strategy, this does not go on our website, although it certainly can, but it has to be adopted by our governing body, and then it has to go on our 990s, which are public documents. So it has to be available. The IRS notice tells us that we can describe any planned collaboration. So the intention is that this be a collaborative process and that it can be developed with others. So we have a mission imperative. We have this legal imperative that hospitals have to, within the next year, do this assessment and implementation strategies. But I think we also have a public health imperative. And increasingly, hospitals are realizing that the health and the cost problems that we have really do have community-based solutions. And I think one of the things that's brought that home, especially to hospital leaders, has been this whole issue of penalties for rehospitalization. And I think for some hospital people, for the first time, they're thinking, well, this patient had a life before they came here, and they have a life afterwards. They should be as healthy as possible coming to us, and we have to look at their health afterwards. So I think we're finding hospitals really turning and having more, I won't say everybody's there, but more of sensitivity that many of the health problems that we're dealing with have community-based solutions. Very excited about the National Prevention Strategy that came out of the Affordable Care Act because it really helps give a framework to a lot of the work we're doing. And then the other Affordable Care Act incentives. Many hospitals are involved in community transformation grants, along with their health department and others in their community. They also have been very excited about getting some of the innovation grants. We're also looking at a number of evidence-based approaches, and here we're looking at the public health literature, what CDC, what HHS has to offer, NACHO's resources, looking at what the United Way has done, and we're very grateful for those. Some of the challenges we've had is that some have suggested that one size fits all, that this is an opportunity, and I can see that it's an attractive idea. Let's get every hospital in the country and every health department doing needs assessments the same way. And we've said communities are just too different, hospitals are different for that to work. But give us the tools that we can use. There is no charity dividend. I think Mike mentioned that in 1969 they changed the revenue ruling for hospitals to a community benefit standard away from financial assistance because it was thought that now that there was Medicare and Medicaid, the poor have health insurance and the elderly have health insurance, so there won't be any need for charity care. Well, we're certainly hoping that the mandate and all of the Affordable Care Act stays in place, but even if it does, we're still going to have a need for charity care, and hospitals also have a lot of other struggles they're dealing with. just a few jurisdictional issues. I'm near Holy Cross Hospital in Silver Spring, Maryland, that has, it's part of Montgomery County, where they've just done a wonderful community health needs assessment with the Healthy Communities Institute, which is a great organization. But half of Holy Cross's service area is in Prince George's County, which is the county after that. So they have to replicate on their own what was done countywide, because Prince George's just doesn't have the same resources. Sometimes it can be city, there can be a citywide assessment, but a hospital's looking at a smaller area. And I think hospitals can work with this, and health departments can work with this. We look for that spot where we do overlap, and we do what we can to collect information and analyze information together, and then might expand that area or contract that area. There could be multiple hospitals in a city. I know in Boston, just about all the hospitals do their own needs assessment. Of course, that could be kind of the culture of Boston. The Harvard Hospital doesn't necessarily work with the Tufts Hospital, so it could be a little bit unique. But they're all doing wonderful assessments. The other is the idea of priorities. Mike talked about the Minneapolis priorities, and I think one of the concerns we have is a state can say, here are the statewide priorities, and a city might say, here's our citywide priorities. Then when it gets down to the local level where we're talking to community members and deciding what are those priorities, they may come up, but they might not. Some of our hospitals might have their own priorities. Catholic Health Initiatives, which is one of our largest members, has asked all its hospitals to deal with violence prevention. So they have to consider the state priorities, they have to consider the city, they have to consider what's coming from their own organization's mission, and then working with community members, come up with those priorities. So that's sort of an overview of where hospitals are coming from. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm looking forward to hearing about how Kaiser does their program.